Alrighty, we're going to get going here. This is Paladin right here on CILU 102.7 FM, and you can check him out live this Halloween in Thunder Bay at 807 Nightclub, 28 South Court Street. And you can find out more information at duckandcover.ca.
big lies. You must now watch for signs.
Alrighty, we've got an interview here with Paladin 6.0, aka SOS, and SOS will be answering the questions as Paladin is just cooling off from the mix there. And I'm going to get things started here. It must have taken, Lan, it must have taken you a lot of hard work and dedication to make yourself known in Toronto. I know you're coming from a small Northern Ontario city, aka Thunder Bay. Can you briefly recount your rise in the ranks for those who may not know the details?
Well, yeah, a lot of hard work, yeah. I mean, if you were to write down everything that I needed to do in order to get to where I am back then on a piece of paper and hand it to me and said, this is what you have to do to make it, I probably would have laughed at you and never done it. But yeah, I did it. And rise to the ranks. Well, worked at, you know, Armani's and the Intowner and the Brew Pub and Casey's and pretty much everywhere. I basically got fired from every place in the city. And May long weekend of 1994, I got caught driving my 1976 Lincoln. I had no insurance, no nothing. I then got my car towed away. I had no reason to be here. And on a spur of the moment decision, I decided to move to Toronto. Nice. And without even lying, I lived in my friend's closet, Joey P. And I lived in his closet for the summer of 94 until I could afford to move to a better place in the house. And then to make a long story short, what eventually happened is all of us, which were a bunch of DJs, Ryan Seven, Scott Allen, myself, Joey P., we all rented a house on Barrie Street in Toronto called the Barrie Bunch. And the Barrie Bunch house was a very unique situation because they were all from Thunder Bay and we were all hellbent on becoming successful DJs. And that was our sole purpose, was to become successful DJs. And that's what we did. We did our best to get out and play as much as we could. Basically led by Ryan Seven. You know, I'm not sure where he is now, but, he helped us a lot. And, it took a lot of work. And I always spent probably a year handing out mixtapes and, you know, playing wherever I could. And that all kind of culminated where I happened to have records in the car and they were shutting down the room at a party we were hanging out at. And I told the promoter, if you guys are going to shut the room down anyhow, why not let me play? Mm-hmm. I'll play for free. And they let me play. And long story short, I was playing and they shut down the main room because I had more people in my room than there were in the main room.
Nice.
And Don Burns, a.k.a. Dr. Trance, was the one playing in the main room. And, you know, no offense to him, but I had more people than he did. And he came downstairs to see what the hell was going on, and it was me. And that pretty much started. So, yeah.
Nice.
Went from just being some Thunder Bay Club DJ to move to Toronto to doing what I could to hand out mixtapes and, you know, just working, and ended up being a successful, I guess, rave DJ in Toronto, being from Thunder Bay, and, you know. That's some of the details about how that happened.
Well, that's great. I certainly had heard of you from my days in London and partying in Toronto. I'd seen you play, and, you know, you're just a name that's certainly known around most of Canada and certainly in Toronto, that's for sure. I know you've done a lot of, had different hats worn in this game as far as being a DJ, being a producer, being a promoter, being, you know, like a club owner type thing. And, are there any gigs or events that you've been a part of that sort of stand out in particular? And if so, what made them special?
So any gigs or stand out or been part of? Wow. I've played a lot of shows and a lot of them have been really, really amazing. But, you know, if I was going to talk about something that I've done that was like special, that really stand out, I would have to say that it was the E-Network shows that we did. And the reason for that, there was myself, Len, SOS, there was Joey P, and Janine, and we were all, you know, there was other people involved early on, but basically the three of us what kept it going. And we did shows that were labeled E-Parties or Entertainment Network, and I'm telling you, for the three people with a lot of help from friends, I won't discount friends, but for three people from Thunder Bay to go down to Toronto and throw the kind of events that we threw, wow. Like our first party was a $5 party with $1 water. And we did it. We were the first ones to do a party against one of the big companies. And basically, the big company in Toronto at the time was called, one of the big companies was called Cyrus. And we decided that, you know what? Who cares? What are they going to do? And so we threw a party the same night as a Cyrus party. And I mean, you know, they freaked out. They were pretty upset. they call all kinds of people and whatever. But you know what? Our attitude was, we're small time. It's a small party. Do what you want. And that turned into, after some, you know, a couple of years of work, into us throwing some really amazing parties. You know, if you go to my my Facebook page, you can see some of the video. Like, for example, our first New Year's party, which was called, Z6. We had a couple thousand people, and basically, you know, like our first party where we were the first company to go against a big company on the same night, we were the first company ever to do a big New Year's party against the big guys. And when I say big guys, I mean, I'm talking 8,000 people in Toronto going to a New Year's Eve party. Well, at our E6 party, we had over 2,000 people there. And it was pretty amazing. So, I mean, I've played some absolutely spectacular parties since then. I mean, I've played the Ontario Science Centre. I've played several churches. I've played all over. Nice. I've played on boats. It's been pretty crazy, actually, some of the things that I've done. But I have to say that if I was going to say what has stood out and been, like, special, I would have to say it was our own E-Network parties. Just because here we are, 2009. Our last party was in 1998. And for 11 years later, for people to still be emailing me and still be posting messages wishing that we would do another party, that to me lets me know that what we did was pretty awesome. And I have to say that that's probably the most special thing that we've done.
Well, it certainly sounds like an amazing time. And, you know, I've seen some videos online. You've showed me some stuff. And, you know, it really looked like a really crazy, insane vibe. And everyone just having a great time. And, you know, I certainly don't see why you wouldn't say that would be one of your greatest sort of standout events there. Okay, now I got a few questions for Paladin. Now, I know I talked to you beforehand, and as Paladin is recharging the batteries and unloading the fuel cells after the guest mix there. And so, let's see, the first question for Paladin. With Paladin Suit Complete 6.0, is there anything you miss from, either anything from 1.0 to 5.1, which was the previous suit before 6.0?
What kind of question is that? The Suit Complete, well, let's put it this way. Basically, every suit since the first suit that I built has been better than the last one. Now, the 1.0 suit was basically me with a black outfit and sea goggles on, and that suit was lame. From then, it kept on going on. Now, if I was to... I missed things, you know, there was things that came along that were kind of cool, like the Paladin 3.0 suit had a articulated laser on the shoulder, and so, you know, a la Predator, wherever the head looked, the laser looked. That was pretty neat. Now, of course, it kept breaking. The laser would, like, shoot off to the left and the head would go to the right. So, I mean, if that worked, I would say I'd miss it. Paladin 5.1, you know, it was pretty cool. It would glow in the dark. But that relied on promoters having the... how do I say this without being, like, totally rude? Basically, if they're wearing black lights, then Paladin didn't glow.
Yeah.
So let's put it this way. For example, I used to have a manager, Ryan Kruger from Damn Artist Management, Destiny in Toronto. And, you know, he was my manager and booked me at one of the large festivals he would throw called WIMP. And he put Paladin 5.1 on at 7 in the morning. So you think that if you were going to book a glow-in-the-dark robot, you would put him when it's dark. But no, we put him on at 7 in the morning. So this wasn't something that would happen rarely. There were a lot of promoters who weren't, let's say, intelligent, that would book a glow-in-the-dark robot at, like, you know, times when they shouldn't be on. And so there are things about the previous suits which relied on various things promoters had to get that they wouldn't get and would make me look bad, because there's nothing worse than seeing a robot standing in front of a bunch of pink flashing Christmas lights. It just doesn't work. So now the new suit doesn't rely on anyone. It's a completely independent entity, and that's why Paladin 6.0 doesn't glow. So yeah, there are a couple things that I miss. You know, I miss the whole articulated laser thing. I miss the glow-in-the-dark UV reactive material. All those things I kind of miss. However, the reason I don't do them and why I don't miss them so much that I'm going to keep doing them is just because now I don't have to worry about promoters providing me with anything to make me look good.
True.
Now Paladin just rocks, period.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to cut you off there. We're going to do some quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with a few more questions for Paladin 6.0 right here on Frequency, CILU 102.7 FM. All right, you're back tuned in to Frequency right here on CILU 102.7 FM. Just got a couple more questions here for Paladin, and then we're going to get back to the last little bit of music here on the show. Let's see, being a 6.5-foot robot, I imagine you've had some sort of interesting or unique, you know, moments in your travels. Is there anything, you know, you'd like to share maybe? I'm sure it's a unique experience, being in that robot guise. And, anything at all?
Yeah, a 6.5-foot tall robot, right. Moments. Okay, I have two for you. One of them, I was playing in the basement of a church, and the party got shut down. So as I was playing in the basement of this church, the lights got all turned on, and I knew the party was over, and I was staying there. Now, I mean, I wasn't privy to how cool this looked according to other people, but other people after the fact told me how cool this looked, if that made any sense to you. Basically, you have to imagine this. There's Paladin, who's behind the turntables, okay, and all of his gear.
Yeah.
So he's got all of his gear on, he's playing, the lights come on, Paladin stops what he's doing, he's kind of staying there. And then down the stairs, because we were in the basement of a church, down the stairs come the OPP. Now the OPP, who are coming to this party, are in their like gray military, the SWAT gear, with helmet and goggles and bulletproof vests. They've got a C7, which if you don't know what that is, it's like a machine gun. They've got all the crap. And they come running down the stairs, like little, just like out of CSI, like flashlights upon the gun, the whole bit, come running down the stairs because I guess somebody called the police on the party to get it busted. They didn't want a competition, whatever.
Get the SWAT for the Raiders.
So now, apparently, what happened is that there was Paladin on, I guess, on the one side in all of his gear, and then there was an OPP in all of his gear on the left side. And the OPP came down the stairs, looked at the people, and was shocked to see they were all very, complacent, and then turned to his left. And then saw Paladin. And apparently there was a moment where there was Paladin looking at the OPP in, like, way cooler-looking gear than the OPP guy. And the OPP guy looking at Paladin going, what the hell is that?
No doubt.
And in that moment, I recall the guy in all of his gear with his gun and his light all pointing at me and me going, wait, please don't shoot. I'll take off my I'll take off my stuff. and that was the end of that. I'll pick one more story. Recently, I was playing in Atlanta, Georgia, and as part of the decorations in Atlanta, Georgia, they had a coffin, an actual right from the funeral home coffin on stage.
Sweet.
And one of the go-go dancers decided that she was going to dance on top of the coffin. Well, if you've ever seen a coffin, first of all, typically they're highly polished, and this one was. And the top has, typically a rounded top. And she had these giant platform shoes. She promptly jumped on top of the coffin, tried to stand on it because of the rounded top. In fact, it was smooth and it was a hot party. Slipped off the coffin and then landed butt first onto the DJ table. Almost pushed the DJ table off the stage. But thank God for the fact that Paladin weighs 350 pounds plus. The whole table and go-go dancer then went from the coffin to the back of the stage, almost pushed me off stage, and I was standing there holding me, the DJ table, all the gear, and the coffin, and the go-go dancer from flying off the back of the stage. She was safe, I was safe, the party kept going, and she was promptly brought backstage where she could be questioned about how much alcohol she had had that evening. So I guess that would be a couple moments that I think would be worth sharing.
Yeah, no kidding. That's certainly a unique moment of sorts. Definitely not a great idea to dance on a coffin with high heels, at least without checking, to make sure it's a flat surface first. We're gonna finish things up here with one last question. I gotta ask, who would win in a fight, Paladin or SOS?
Who would win in a fight? Oh, that's easy. Of course I would. That guy's my I slap that guy around like nothing. I watched George St. Pierre fight. That I would. Hey, what the hell? Hey, what the hell?
Oh, shit, hit the train gun! Hit the off switch!
Okay. Len? Are you there? No? Okay, the line went dead. That sounded like it was nasty. Maybe Len, SOS can't take Paladin after all. Well, that does it for the interview, I guess. Cut short by maybe death by a robot. Not too sure there. But we're going to get things going right here now with Fast Eddie and Yo-Yo Get Funky Chrissy Cross, or Chrissy Chris remixing right here on Frequency.
So scream and throw your hands up. The party's about to begin, and I'm gonna rock it to the-